Welcome to Lens of Leadership, our Ted Lasso Rewatch podcast. Before we dive into this episode's leadership lessons, let's watch a quick recap.
As season 1, episode 5 starts, Ted ices his head in Rebecca's office. He confesses that he is having marital problems. Keely made the right decision leaving Jamie, and Jamie still won't make the extra pass. Ted's wife and son arrive. Rebecca suggests Keely starts doing branding work for other players. Roy incorrectly questions Keely about why she hangs out with Jamie. Ted and family have a Field of Dreams moment, but Michelle isn't happy. Oklahoma. Ted gets advice from Beard, Nate, and Higgins. Jamie is so divisive on the field that Ted benches him even after scoring 2 goals. And Ted's moving halftime talk about tan lines is not just a pep talk for the team. They believe. Roy makes the extra pass, and Sam scores the winning goal. Beard points out that the wanker cheer is the same, but different. Roy scares Keely in the parking lot and apologizes. Ted lets Michelle go. Coach Beard is there for Ted as episode 5 ends with a nightcap.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Nick Coniglio.
And I'm Marnie Stockman, and this is Lens of Leadership, a Ted Lasso rewatch podcast. We are the authors of Lead It Like Lasso, a leadership book for life, your life.
Or as we like to say, the ultimate cheat code to help you level up in life. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, we take a different approach by deep diving into some leadership principles drawn from the episode.
And with today's episode, Tan Lines, we're going to take a deep dive into embracing change.
Yeah, that was kind of an easy one as we watched this episode. First of all, great episode, Tan Lines. But I think, you know, as I watched it, you know, you can see the theme coming out. And this is what's great about this series. But there's really 3 different areas that I saw that were all about change, you know, dealing with the challenges of it or, you know, ultimately hoping to embrace it. We had Keely and Jamie moving on with their respective lives after their breakup.
And Jamie, thank you. Whenever I break up with someone, I spend months questioning it, wondering if I made a huge fucking mistake. But you have really helped me to feel good about this decision just by being you.
You're welcome.
We had AFC Richmond needing to move on kind of from the selfish play of Jamie Tart.
Fellas, we're broken. We need to change. And look, I know change can be scary.
And of course, we've been getting hints up until this episode about Ted and his personal life with his marriage and Henry, his son. But we really start getting a lot of information about Ted needing to move on from his marriage.
Every day, I wake up hoping that I'll feel the way I felt in the beginning. But maybe that's just what marriage is, right?
And I am going to add one more, and that is, along with Keely and Jamie breaking up, the growth of Keely with Rebecca's help.
Absolutely.
So not just personally, but professionally as well.
If any of the other players needed some branding work done, is that something you'd be interested in?
So let me ask you, are you a change type of gal? I mean, do you like change?
So it's funny you say that. When I worked in the school system, one of my mentors who had been my boss a couple of different times was the assistant superintendent. And when I first became the math supervisor, she's like, okay, Marnie, first, you and I are the same. We might like change a little too much.
And okay.
So like we should know that about ourselves so that we don't just squirrel into the next thing. Right. Which I thought was an important lesson to learn. I remember where I was sitting when she told me that. So how about you? How do you like change, embrace it?
You know, I'm a little bit of an oxymoron, I think, from that standpoint. I'm the type of guy that I find a restaurant, I find a specific meal at a restaurant. I'm not deviating from that plan, right? I don't like to try anything new in terms of routine or anything like that. But, you know, when I think about my whole professional development, it has progressed almost entirely on change, right? When I was my first job out of school, I worked in Manhattan, And I decided I didn't like commuting into New York City at all. And I got up and I moved to Atlanta, kind of on a whim with almost no money, just looking for a change. And as I think about my career, you know, every major progression I made, it was a conscious effort, not without apprehension, but it was a conscious effort to really seek out change. And the benefits from that, I've greatly benefited from it, from just embracing change of some sort.
So you sound like Ted going to Atlanta. So instead of going across the pond, you went to Atlanta.
not quite as dramatic, for sure. But, you know, I think with my experiences, it's, you know, we often talk about embracing change and change management as kind of a leadership skill. But really, it's a growth strategy.
Yeah,
I think that's and it just leads to significant development, kind of in anybody's personal or professional life. And you know, for me, that was not something that I sought out, but time after time, the benefits of embracing change and looking to change has always paid off for me.
But I think, you know, when you mentioned change, you kind of discussed sort of your, I'll say, a little risk aversion, but I think it is an element that really change also is opportunity. So there's, it's kind of like what's the Chinese symbol for crisis is an element of danger and an element for opportunity. And I think the same when I think about change.
Yeah. I think to that point, you know, taking you out of your comfort zone, right, pushes you into new experiences. You learn how to adapt to situations that previously seemed daunting. And then it builds on that, right? It leads to increased confidence and resilience. So why don't we start off talking about change from a personal perspective just a little bit? And I think the big thing in this particular episode, as we saw in our recap, is we start to realize that Ted took this job and this position really to give his wife and child some space, really, Michelle.
4,438 miles worth of space per Nate.
Yes. What was his dad's? Was it a cartographer?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
Fire away.
If you're so worried about your relationship, then why did you fly 4,438 miles away?
That is a very specific number to know off the top of your head.
Oh, well, my dad used to be a cartographer.
Well, it's a good question. Why do it? I think at some point I realized that me being around so much was doing more harm than good.
From a personal perspective, I talked earlier about, you know, expanding my comfort zone and into new experiences. There's a difference between really seeking change and being forced to change.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Well, I do. If you think about Jamie Tart, and he's not seeking any change whatsoever, and Ted's trying to make him move in that direction, versus Keeley, who wasn't seeking change, but was inspired, which I think is a sign of a leader, which, like, maybe Rebecca's coming around a little bit, right? And Ted was seeking change that would maybe feel good to him. I think his biggest struggle is that, you know, he has two personal core values, and we talk a lot about core values, that I think come to play. Positivity, right? And as he said, you know, Michelle particularly told the therapist that, like, his whatever annoying, incessant positivity was hard to bear. So that was one of them. And the other was, you know, what he mentioned, that he promised himself he would never quit anything, right? And yet it appeared as though he was quitting his marriage.
I promised myself I would never quit anything in my life.
And so he was really fighting with himself about this change until he gave himself and the team the pep talk of a century right there with the tan lines locker room speech.
Yeah, that was certainly an interesting metaphor or analogy to use in terms of that. But I want to pull you back for a second, because we talk about Ted actually in the show. He used the line and he said, "I told myself that I would never quit anything in my life," right? Yeah. And then Michelle responds with, "You know, you're not quitting, Ted. You're just letting go." But you know, I think there's some notion around quitting, and it just has such negative overtones. And I think in some cases, quitting is really it could be viewed as a positive change in your life, right? I think, you know, it's important to counter the narrative that quitters always fail, because in a lot of respects, quitting is an agent to actually get change, and the change is positive, right? Think about the times when you're stuck in a toxic situation, mm-hmm. right? Or you really need to change the direction that is not the trajectory that you're meant to go on, whether it's related to being somebody who you were not supposed to be, it's against your core values, so forth and so on. So what do you think about that in terms of quitting? You know, do you get the same sense that I do, that there's a lot of people that are just black and white, and they hear the word quitting and they view that as negative?
So first, the same mentor I mentioned earlier used to use the phrase of students sometimes acting out as an act of sanity. So sometimes them having a fit in class is really like, it's a bad situation. It's a toxic situation. And in terms of quitting, I absolutely think, yeah, it certainly gets a bad rap, but sometimes you need a catalyst for a change to happen. You know, it's funny. I started thinking about the whole divided locker room, and I played volleyball in college and I had to sit out my junior year because I had been sick. And so I went back my senior year to a new coach. And the new coach was all about hazing the freshmen, which was I'm not comfortable with in general. So I wouldn't participate. So whatever she made the freshmen do, I would also do, because I just wasn't going to engage in making people feel bad. And more than half the team were freshmen. So when it came to vote for captains, in a shocking turn of events, I was elected as one of the captains. And there was clearly a power struggle that went on. I was pro team and she was pro her. And I'm sure I played into that. I'm not going to pretend like I was a saint at all. But as it got worse, she benched me on senior night. And I can take it, right? I've been coached by all kinds before. But it really hurt my parents' feelings. They'd brought family to see it. And it crushed them. And it wasn't getting any better. And the team felt divided, because I was 21. I would drive one of the team buses and she would drive the other. And mine would have 10 of the 16 people plus me. And she would have the rest of the team. So it sort of showed you the struggle. And I decided that I had to quit. And so I went into her office. It was absolutely the hardest thing I ever did up until that point. Mm-hmm. And when I went in and I said, I don't remember what led up to it other than a lot of anxiety and I'm going to quit. And she said, "You can't quit. You're the leader on the team." And she said, "If you quit, the rest of the team is going to quit too." And I said, "Yeah, have you thought about that?" And she said, "What do you mean?" And I gave the example, which one of the teammates had told me the day before. We would do these 2-minute bonsai drills where she would stand there and just drill balls at you all over the floor and you had to dive and sprawl. And everyone was on the clock for 2 minutes, but she'd put me on the clock for 3 minutes. And there were a couple other examples of that. And I gave that example. I'm not the one causing this power struggle, right? And she said, "Well, I need you to be a leader." And I said, "Then you should use me for the betterment of the team instead of clashing with me." It was one of the hardest things I ever did, but we kind of came to an agreement on what that would look like. And we ended up winning the division championship that year. But I had to basically let go even though I really didn't want to. Loved volleyball.
Yeah. That reminds me, I think, and this is a random just side topic right here. But, you know, when I was watching the episode and we were thinking about, you know, okay, we're going to talk about the theme of embracing change, it kind of reminds me of my favorite movie, I think, of all time, which is Remember the Titans. And I don't know, have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, yes, it's a good one. Yeah.
I mean, for those in the audience, go see it if you haven't seen it before. But it's about, I think the setting is early 1970s, and it's a story of a Virginia high school where they for the first time, the school integrated Black and white students. And it was met with resistance by every stakeholder imaginable, the teachers, the students, the community. And they really model the story of, I think it was Coach Herman Boone, Denzel Washington, right? He takes over the football program, and he is all about bringing together both white and Black students. And unlike your story, this is where the coach actually took the position of leadership, right?
No, and not. He
embraced this change, and he did it. How did he do it? He did it through tough conversations. He did it through really working the students or the athletes, the football players, hard, so they had something to bond over in terms of
and a buy-in for the WAD, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great movie. I'm sorry. That was a quick tangent to that, conversation.
Well, I do think folks that appreciate some of the message of Ted Lasso will appreciate that movie too. It is a good one.
Absolutely. Okay. So switching gears a little bit, I for some people, it's really hard. You know, they are very resistant to making change. And I described scenario earlier that's been part of my MO for as long as I remember, although I've gradually learned to accept change as a good thing. But maybe we can talk a little bit about what some of our perceived benefits are about making change, maybe some rapid fire items from each of our perspectives. So you want me to start or you want to start?
Well, I have one right out of the gate, which is sometimes it takes a perspective that is new to a scenario in order to have a creative solution or actually innovate, right? It's one of those, you can't solve the problem with the brain that created it. So I think if you're willing to look at a change from a very different perspective, I think that can bring innovation and some problem solving.
Yeah, it's kind of like continuous learning, right? That change forces you to learn new skills.
Yeah.
As you said, think creatively. And you're right. I think innovation, absolutely. Okay, so I guess I'm up next, right? So I think that, you know, change to me encourages new connections, right? And I think we've established on previous podcasts that I tend to be an introvert. And although I would love to go out and meet new people, you know, that's just not my personality, but I'd like to think it was. So I think every time I've made a change, and I don't care if it's a moving to Atlanta for the first time or switching jobs or playing golf, picking up a new hobby, golf, what have you. The direct benefit to me has always been I've been introduced to new people, right? And I can think back of, you know, where I was to where I am today, what we've done in terms of building a business and then writing a book. My career started as a computer programmer where I had an entire circle of five people that I worked with, and I was pretty good at it. I can drink four Coca-Colas a day, and I was completely satisfied with that, right? If I never would have taken that step, which was way outside my comfort zone to go into consulting and actually interact with people, I can't imagine I would be as well off today as I currently am because of the changes that I made.
So it expanded your opportunities.
It expanded my opportunities. I met new people. You know, ultimately, we ended up figuring out how to work together. I just all the steps that I took, really, which was about embracing change, taking new opportunities, led me to the connections where I am today. And I think that's that's worked out well for me.
So I think another benefit of embracing change is the notion that you mentioned continuous learning, but growth, right? In order for there to be growth, you kind of have to, there has to be a pain for you to work through. And that change forces you, sometimes it's introspective, right? Like Ted, he had to take a good hard look at this, I'm never going to quit, and reframe it in a way that made sense. His incessant positivity, right? Yep. that Michelle couldn't handle, right? He still wanted to go about it the right way, in a positive way, as he would, but he had to grow through the pain to get there. And that's a bit of what his pep talk was about, right?
I mean, challenges, right? It's, you know, change always introduces new challenges.
Yeah.
You have to overcome those challenges and then you figure out how to emerge stronger. And just the fact of continuously going through that process, if you're one that always seeks out change, it can only help you, because gosh knows that life's full of ups and downs, right? The whole notion of building resilience to overcome those challenges is a critical skill.
So you reminded me of a quote I saw the other day, which said, you can't be brave if you aren't scared first, right? Yeah. And so the whole notion of like accomplishing, defeating a challenge or some resistance, again, that requires bravery, means you had to do something scary, taking a risk, embracing change, challenging your own status quo, you know, your own core values, or somebody that you respected or looked up to that maybe you have to push back on a bit.
Yep. And I think over time, you kind of develop a mindset, becoming more flexible and adaptable. As many times as you can, and you introduce yourself to those new challenges, you slowly begin to learn and anticipate changes. Right. And then adjust your strategies. I mentioned it earlier. You know, I left a computer programming job and I went into consulting. And the first thing, again, this is introverted me, right? It really stumbled to speak to anybody. But the first thing the owner of the company had me do was training classes for, I think it was the first 3 to 6 months that I worked there. So I went from the standpoint of sitting at a keyboard working with hardly anybody to then have to speak and train people on how to use data and how to perform analysis. And this was like, it was 8-hour training classes, right? It was,
that is a lot.
It was a lot.
By choice.
And I'm like, this change thing ain't so fun, right? I actually took the position knowing that I would put myself, I would expand.
Yeah, what made you decide to do that? Was it to grow?
It was 100% to grow. Yeah. I mean, I realized that at some point, this trajectory of just sitting in a room at a keyboard was not going to result in the career that I wanted to result in. And I had some deep-seated issues, right? I recall I had high school classes where I said maybe 10 words the entire year. It was very, very hard for me to really interact with people. I was that shy. And I knew, and this was in my early 20s, that something had to change and I had to force myself to be put in that position to grow as a person. And I think, you know, all the things that we've talked about, expanding your comfort zones, being more adaptable, continuous learning, being resilient, establishing connections, they were all in play as I made that jump from programmer to consultant.
I feel like for Keely, Rebecca is a huge connection that is going to push her. Was there a mentor that was encouraging, or was this all internal? And even if you didn't have somebody that was pulling you, did you reach out once you decided like things aren't going to stay this way for me?
Yeah, I that was through a connection, right? It was somebody who I had worked with who had gone to this consulting company and he was probably looking for a referral bonus. And he said, hey, Nick's pretty good with data. But yeah, I mean, at that point, that changed my career entirely because I ended up working for somebody who greatly shifted the trajectory of my life. And it was one of my mentors, Gary. Thank you, Gary, if you're out there somewhere. But that ultimately led to another connection. My next role was a chief operating officer through the connections that I made at that company. I mean, it's not rocket science, right? But without, again, I keep going back to, without the willingness to accept change and embrace it in some kind of way, you're just closing off opportunities to yourself. At least in my world, I would have been, because I'm just by nature not somebody that seeks out new connections, relationships, so forth and so on.
Well, I know you know I'm a connector, so I'm always, but I don't always actively reach out, but I am always open to that. And it makes me think a lot about listening, but not just to what people say, but remaining open to opportunities. Every time I've interviewed for a job, and more often, I don't actually interview for a job. Someone suggests, like, hey, maybe you should come do this. And so we have a conversation around a job, and they'll ask, where do you see yourself in 5 years or 10 years or whatever that may be? And my answer is always, well, I like a new challenge. And right now, this is a new challenge. So I can't really see past this. But when this becomes ordinary, right, I will want a new challenge, whatever that may be. And I'm open to figuring out what that is. So I feel like that's not what they want to hear. They want me to say, oh, I plan on being a director and a chief this and a chief that, where it's more open to whatever opportunity or challenge that will inspire some change and growth in myself. So I think listening is really a key component. That clearly you were listening and you listened to yourself and others. So well played.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it kind of reminds me of, what are we doing right here? Can you imagine not 18 months ago that we would have authored a book? Right. That won an award. little self-pats on the back right there. And gosh, to me, that's less surprising than we're actually on a podcast discussing it from my perspective. So yeah. I think it's all about embracing change. We're living our best life every day because we were willing to take the risk and take a chance on change.
So I'm curious, do you think you have ever been a change agent for anyone else, any of your employees? Have you inspired? Did you have active strategies to help folks with this?
Besides encouraging it, you know, my leadership style, it's more by example, right? But I think part of something that I'm proud of in terms of how I've evolved as a leader over time is encourage risk taking, encourage people that I worked with or that worked on my team to look for new opportunities, right? To look out for what's best for them. So I don't know if I have a specific example, but I think, you know, the whole notion of not just thinking about yourself, but if you're on a team with your teammates, or if you're fortunate enough to manage a team, always encourage people to see, is there something out there that will help push them?
Yeah, if you can encourage them to become the best version of themselves, right? That is only better for the team, really, even if ultimately they end up leaving the team. It breeds the type of people who are aiming to grow and learn and better themselves and the team. And I will disagree with you, because you absolutely have been a change agent for me. I can remember when we worked together in the software company, when you would say, like, we can do this, you know, here's an opportunity, or this is what we should do, that reframed my thinking to think, oh, if we want to make that change, let's propose. I can remember when it might have involved a wig and a wrap that I ended up doing, right? But it made a difference in the product, because we were able to look at things differently. And you inspired that by saying, let's take a step back and take a look at what we could do to make that difference. You definitely have. I do know your leadership style and you're being humble, that folks really do listen to what you have to say. And when you're always looking for what's best for them and the best version of them, it's amazing what they do to step up to become that best version. A lot like what Rebecca is doing with Keely.
No doubt.
And what Ted's doing with Roy, right?
Yeah.
The first domino to fall is starting to fall. He just shook his hand on the field because he recognized what he did by pulling Jamie Tart off. And that wasn't an easy move for him, right? Ted wanted it all to work, but this change is going to take a different path than Ted saw coming.
Yeah. I, first of all, thank you for everything you said earlier, but going back to that scene when Ted replaced Jamie, after that, they met at halftime before Ted's big speech. And it wasn't lost on anybody, I don't think, that hasn't watched the show, that the first comment was from Roy.
Yeah.
Hey, sit down and listen.
Yep.
Things are happening. Changes are coming.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny because it took me back to the first episode. Roy said, shut up. You know, like he wanted to hear what Coach had to say in more of a negative regard. And this is change. This is same but different. This is Roy saying, oi, hush, I want to hear this because this is going to be important. And I think that same but different line at the end is really important. I think it ties together everything that we've said about change. And when you think about it, Ted, like we've talked about, had to take two of his core values, positivity and never quitting, and had to figure out how to make that work at work and at home while making some big changes. And he still has positivity and he still has a never quit attitude. So it's the same, but it is different in how it's playing out. It's different than what he expected. And I would challenge leaders, and everyone's a leader, right? Like your personal leadership of what of your own core values are maybe holding you back from making that change. Maybe is it you are risk averse? Well, can we work through that and find a way to embrace the change to get to the other side?
Absolutely. And I think one of the ways that you can do that is by seeking out people who have actually gone through change, right? And I think Ted does a masterful job in the story relating, in the show, relating his stories. but you asked earlier, you know, I think one of the ways as leaders, if you are a leader and you happen to work with people or you mentor people, and I know we do that from time to time, right? I think just sharing your experiences about specifically the fact that you did make a conscious effort to make a change is something that inspires people. And I think that's something that we all need to remember because, again, we go back to the beginning, a lot of people really struggle with the whole concept of change. And the more you can kind of show the benefits and the outcomes, I think the better.
The other piece I would just like to throw in there is that sometimes people are so busy in their day to day. We here in the business world, I'm too busy working in the business to work on the business. They're also sometimes too busy in their own lives to look, take a step back and look at their lives or themselves from an overview perspective. And so I think when you see something in someone, you should tell them that you see it, right? When my boss said, oh, we like change a little more than we should, right? With some tips about like, how does that play out? And how should I look at that differently? I think it matters. And people will think on that, especially if it's something positive. I can remember we were interviewing for a customer success position, and someone told me that they didn't think they were right for the role because they had been training in sales. And I called them back and I said, I think you're wrong. And I think here's why. Every time you talk about successful stories, it wasn't in closing a sale. It was in helping someone solve a problem. And that's what we need for customer success. And he has proudly posted that on LinkedIn, that in his mind changed the career path he wanted to. So I think I challenge everyone to find the Keely Joneses of the world and point out, like, you know, there's something here. This is a strength because you might be that change agent for someone.
Absolutely. All right. So before we wrap up, there was one other scene that I want to talk about, and that's when Ted and Henry were building the double-decker Lego bus in Ted's apartment.
The old Field of Dreams metaphor.
Don't you want to go ride a real double-decker bus?
After we finish.
Mm-hmm. See, I like that. First, we got to build it, then we can ride it. It's kind of a Field of Dreams paradigm.
Yeah. And we actually had this in our book as one of our rules, and it was all about manifest it.
Yeah.
Right?
It happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like we've lived this for the past 5 years. We built a company. We knew it was going to be successful. Didn't really know what we were. Hey, in 3 to 5 years, we're going to be here without really anything other than a set of core values and an operating framework. We did a similar thing with the book. We're going to write this book and we're going to market it. And it's going to be, you know, this whole notion of, you know, just selling a couple hundred books for the first book you ever write. We're just going to ignore that completely and start winning awards. And we did it. So I feel like I'm bragging now, but, you know, we're only bringing it up because we have this whole notion of let's just make it happen, manifest
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
So, I mean, I think the whole notion is if you can see it, you can build steps to make it happen, right? That's why we talk about vision being so important. And along the way, the only way you will get to a big dream is with some change. And so I think that's, you know, all right, Ted, Henry, and Michelle sat down with a big old Lego kit. They could see it. It was, you know, it wasn't easy. But they could build it piece by piece. And the Lego analogy, I think, is a really good one for you have to have two things in order to make something happen. One is the vision, and then two is the tactical steps, right? The manual for making it happen. But then the bit with embracing the change is to work through the struggles to move the needle to make it happen. And that is how everyone levels up to become the best version of themselves. That is what leaders need to manifest in themselves. They need to manifest in others. And that is at home, at work, in the boardroom, a locker room, a living room, right? It's the same idea.
Perfect. That's a great way to wrap it up. So what I'm going to manifest right now is figuring out a way to marry kind of the two things that are really driving my life right now, which is the NFL draft, which is in a couple of weeks, and these podcasts. And I say we're going to introduce some change
into the podcast.
Next podcast. Yeah. Where it's all about drafting. And
are we going to draft some Ted Lasso players? Yes.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. This will be fun.
Absolutely. So until then, this has been great conversation around embracing change. So we'll see y'all the next time.
As we wrap up our Tan Lines episode of Lens of Leadership about embracing change, we and all the bots would love it if you would like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. As we take a look at John Wooden's Pyramid of Success, don't forget you can head to leaditlikelasso.com to check out the full spreadsheet of all of his character traits of leadership. But today we're going to take a look at Keely, Ted, and Jamie in terms of adaptability, confidence, and cooperation. In terms of adaptability, that is really that you can adjust to any situation, which is important when it comes to change. Confidence means respect without fear, and may come from being prepared and keeping all things in proper perspective. And finally, cooperation with all levels of your coworkers. Listen if you want to be heard, and that'll lead to the best way, which may, in fact, may not be your way. So as we take a look at adaptability, Keely, she really is adapting to her new world without Jamie, with potentially taking a look at some new work. So she is very open to being adaptable. Ted, so we gave Keely a 10. We gave Ted a 7. He's definitely stuck in some things, but he is working through them. But we think he's letting go at the end of the episode. But for the bulk of that episode, he was a little bit stuck. And Jamie, a 3. He's not adapting to anything. In terms of confidence, Keely has an 8. She fairly well knows what she's doing, but she's looking at Rebecca thinking, oh, maybe there's more. Ted was lacking some confidence in his relationship,
Jamie, unfortunately, is a 10, but it has gone too far. It might be a 15, and it is arrogance. So that is not going to serve him well. And in terms of cooperation, Keely, an 8. She's going along with things. Ted, a 10. He's always cooperative. And Jamie, a big 0 on that one. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Lens of Leadership. Be sure to join us next time and lead it like Lasso.